Hey guys, this is Greg Denning, and you are in the School of Awesome Sauce, where I share with you amazing stories and strategies to help you live an extraordinary life. Hey, good morning, my friends. I always say this, just good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good wherever you are, right? Just another great day to be alive. I love us. I love life. Love, love, love life. I've been having such a fun time. Today I fly out to San Francisco. From San Francisco we go to Seoul, Korea. And then from Korea we go over and we're gonna spend a couple weeks in Mongolia. And whoa, you guys, I'm going to have some stories to share from this trip. It's going to be so amazing. We're going to ride these Mongol horses out in the steppe and ride camels in the mini Gobi Desert and, you know, stay in the gurs. It's like a yurt. We call it a yurt, but it's a gur. And just see the tradition, the culture, and they're going to the Nadam Festival. And oh, I'm so excited. You get into the, you know, the culture and the physical challenges and the beauty and the wonder of nations and traditions and everything that comes with it, like getting into a new place and a new land. Oh man, I'm so excited. And then on the way home, we stop in Beijing, and we're gonna go see the Great Wall and the Forbidden City. So, holy guacamole, I'm excited. And then, of course, last week, I already told you this, last week I got to spend the week in Guatemala on a kind of a brief trip. We did a little humanitarian work with an organization we work with down there. And then we celebrated Independence Day here in the United States. And so my mind has been on this really fascinating idea. I was just in what we call, some people call them third world countries. And I just personally don't like using that term. I don't like that term. It feels like you're classifying people again and place. I don't know. I'd really like to try to avoid that. So my preference is calling them developing countries. They're still developing countries. And then we're in, you know, so-called developed nations. But it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And it's also an irony. And we're going to talk about that today. And then so celebrating, you know, going from one developing country to celebrating Independence Day and then going right away to another developing country. And then this is a fascination between even in these so-called developing countries, in the cities, there's unbelievable amounts of wealth and infrastructure and, you know, shopping centers and phenomenal cars and houses and beauty and buildings. And then even in what we call the developing world, they have these civilizations that have been there for thousands of years doing unbelievable things, creating mind-boggling buildings inside of, you know, like I'm thinking specifically of ruins. If you guys have ever been to these ancient ruins, from Machu Picchu to Tikal in Guatemala to Chichen Itza and Tulum in Mexico and the Yucatan, I mean, to Palenque and Chiapas. And like, you go to these places and the old castles, right? The old castles all across, and the burgs all across Europe. And they're just wonders, absolute wonders of things they were able to accomplish thousands of years ago or many hundreds of years ago. And wow, right? Wow, so cool. And things that are just still boggle engineers and just fascinate and amaze us. But as we get in, you know, we've been out in really remote places. And interestingly, Mongolia is one of the least densely populated places in the world, and we're going to get way out away from everything, which is going to be so fun. And I love doing that as often as I can, get as far away from I always call it like human creations, like just get so far away from cities and buildings and the things we've created to only the things God created, right? And get way out there, and you get so disconnected, and it's almost like a reset button. You get to see and experience new things. But I've been in these in countries where, in places where there's just nothing out there. No internet, no cell phone service, and little villages. I remember going to a village in Peru, and it was all the houses were made out of like the adobe mud, just mud and clay mixed together. And they'd been like that for who knows how long, right? And I literally felt like we'd stepped back in time 150 years. As I remember, there was only a couple of houses in the very center that had a little light bulb in them. There was a little teeny bit of electricity, a little light bulb or something. Everywhere else was still, no electricity, no running water. But they had figured out they'd been living that way for a long time. And it was really high up in the Andes Mountains. And they just were living the old way. It's like, whoa, it's amazing. So in one part, it was like amazing, inspiring, awesome. And the other part is like, whoa, they don't have electricity or modern plumbing. Like, whoa, it's crazy. They lack the modern infrastructure. And yet they still have, so many wonderful things. Been over in India, in places where, the vast majority of the people did not have any kind of toilet or any kind of outhouse or septic tank. They had nowhere to go to the bathroom except outside, right? I was in all through Central America, and in the Dominican Republic, and up in Nepal, way up in the mountains in Nepal, where you to get your village. They reference their village a lot. You'd say, "Hey, where do you live?" And they're like, "Oh, 2 days that way or 3 days that way." They measure it by how long it takes to walk there. And when you get up there, and what they have is what they've built. It's amazing, just amazing. There's so many places like that in the world, and I hope you'll go visit them. In fact, I remember one time, I got to tell some stories here. We were in Costa Rica, and Costa Rica is like that. Like you'll have these gorgeous mansions with ridiculous amounts of wealth and beauty and wonder and architecture, and oh, the gardens will blow you away, and just beautiful things. And then you go out to these little villages way out that just have almost nothing, and then the people are living in little huts. The same was true in Nicaragua. We had some neighbor friends, just the simplest, just wonderful, generous, good people. Oh, such good people. People that I admire and want to be more like. Living in on dirt floors in a little tin shack, and each morning they just go out and fish. And if they catch something that day, that's what they have to eat. And if they had a good day, they would come share with us. Oh man, it was so humbling and so amazing. Oh, so amazing. That's where we got to release, we went out to this reserve right there and released baby sea turtles as they were just hatching. They had this protection preservation area, and we got to go just release them and watch them like go out into the ocean. Oh man, it was awesome. It was so awesome. And then another time in Costa Rica, we had a friend who works for he's a biologist, works for the Nature Conservancy. And he's like, "Man, we got to go to this place. It's in primary forest." And I was like, "What is primary forest?" And he said, it's forest that hasn't been touched, I think, as he said it, for 100 or 150 years by people. They just kind of let it be. And so we got into this area, and he says, "We have to hike in. It takes a lot of time. It's hot. It's humid. You carry all your stuff. You have to carry all your food in and all your stuff out, right?" There was one little ranger station with a teeny little grass airstrip in the middle of this where, I mean, there's literally photographers and researchers and scientists in there from like National Geographic. And oh man, it was awesome. So we walk in there, and he says, "You have to cross the rivers at low tide, because at high tide, the mouth of the rivers get filled with bull sharks who come in from the ocean and crocodiles, and they just are warring and they're eating." So he's like, "You don't want to cross at high tide." We're like, "Yes, this sounds amazing." So we hike in there, and it takes forever and a day because we're big old heavy packs and in the sand and through the hot jungle. And we get in there, we get to our last river, and it had taken us so long. The tide was coming in, it was high. And we're like, oh man, now what do we do? Like, it was a big wide crossing. Like, geez, if we can't cross because we risk crocodiles and bull sharks, what do you do? Like, oh, this is crazy. I'm with my wife. We left our kids at home. We just had little ones. And my buddy and my sister-in-law was with us. And we're just like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, maybe we could just set up camp here. And I turned around to like look and see if there was any place to set up camp. And there was this gigantic spider web, like huge, huge spider web right behind us with this massive spider in the middle of it. And we're just like, we're not camping here. Let's go. And so I went first. I'm like, okay, I'm just going. So I took off my pack, put it on top of my head, and just walked out. And it was like high chest deep out there. And we're just like, please get across, please get across. And my wife was like, I'm not staying here. So she jumped in behind me, and we looked back ashore, and our friends just, white faces, like, what are we doing? But we made it across, went over, set up our camp in there, and then went down to the river. And man, sure enough, it was the river on the other side. So the camp was in between two big rivers. A river on the other side, and we saw a bull shark, a huge bull shark coming in, and then we saw tons of crocodiles. It was crazy. And then we did a little campfire and like cooked up some food on the beach right there, and there were literally thousands of hermit crabs, big, big hermit crabs all around. They were like coming towards our fire and our food, and oh man, it was amazing. We saw a gigantic nest of wild scarlet macaws. We saw the peccaries, I think they're called, the wild herds of pigs. We saw a tapir. I've never seen a tapir in my life, and one of those just came rumbling out of the bushes right there. It's like a cross between a giant pig and an elephant. And it was like, what is this thing? It's amazing. Saw the most amazing animals, and got to have, man, just an incredible time in this place. So remote, so far out there. There's just nothing out there but nature and God's creations, which are spectacular. But here's the lesson I want to share. So I hope you enjoy some fun stories, you guys. But here's the lesson I want to share that has just struck me so forcefully the last few days. That we have these so-called developing countries that they're just mass. They're lacking infrastructure. The roads are falling apart, if there's even roads. I mean, we drove the very first time we drove the Pan American Highway. We crossed into the border of Nicaragua, and the Pan American Highway, the main cross, it was like a Jeep trail with potholes that were almost as big as my vehicle. And I'm not exaggerating. Like, you're driving down in, there's tons of water. Like, it was crazy. So they're lacking roads, and I remember being in countries where the electricity would just go out all the time. It was just random. You just never knew what was going to happen. Like, sometimes you had electricity, sometimes you didn't. Sometimes you had running water, sometimes you didn't. That happened a lot in the Dominican Republic when we were there. Like, if you got water, man, save it up because you don't know if you'll have some. If you have electricity, enjoy it now because it may not be around. And internet was, right? Cell service and internet come and go, and they're still, even in Guatemala, some of the places just have this spotty, spotty, sketchy internet that's so slow. And now we're all used to this fast internet. Oh, for example, like, and this is ironic, in Alaska, the internet is terrible. And in remote, we lived in England, we're out on the moor, out in this little cottage, and the internet was terrible. And, out in Guatemala or Costa Rica, I mean, you have maybe 1 or 2 megabytes, and then you contrast that to when we were staying in Strasbourg, France, where we literally had 150 megs down and 150 megs up, like double. Like, it was legit awesome. Everybody in the house could get on a device and download a movie at the same time. It was, oh man, it was so awesome. And so we have these just contrasts of infrastructure, and then we're celebrating Independence Day, right? We're having freedoms and liberties, and we're celebrating all the awesome and wonderful things we enjoy and have. And then I'm going back to another country where it's super remote, going out in the middle of nowhere. And the idea just struck me, like, how wonderful it is to have infrastructure, to have systems and processes and things built out in a thoughtful way and they function, they work properly and efficiently and effectively, and to be free. But then I just had this aha moment. It just struck me. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Our lives are just the same. Some of us are like developing countries, while others of us are like fully developed countries. Some of us lack infrastructure in our lives. We lack planning and thoughtfulness. We lack efficiency and effectiveness. We haven't got our thoughts organized. Our emotions are out of control. They're like a horrible road system or you know, electrical system where you're just sitting there and any breeze of wind or rain or anything, this power goes out. And the same happens to you and me emotionally. Just random moments, the power just goes out. Boom! Or we're rolling along and somebody says something or somebody does something or a memory comes up and bam! We have an electrical explosion in our emotions. Because we're underdeveloped. And it's fascinating, and I made a video about this and just have been thinking about this. Like, it's a sad waste of our freedoms and liberties to you know, live in these wonderful and free countries that we do when we ourselves are not free. What good is a free nation if I am a slave to my appetites and my vices and my addictions and my emotions and my mindset, my fears, my doubts, my anxieties? You get what I'm saying? Like, this is powerful. Like, what good does it do me to live in a developed country if I remain underdeveloped? And this struck me so forcefully just with this week in Guatemala, Independence Day, and then, you know, a couple weeks over in Asia. Like, we've got to do the same with our lives. And then we're going to, you know, China, communism, like, and how many of us maybe even are like a communist country? And bam, the imagery, the comparison there just struck me so forcefully. Like, what are we doing? And so that each of us, myself included, can look at our lives and say, wait a minute, where am I a little unorganized here or unplanned? Where have I not been very thoughtful, very prepared? And it's not all or nothing, luckily. It's not all or nothing. Some of us are very organized and on top of it physically, maybe, and then totally unorganized and underdeveloped emotionally or mentally. Or maybe some of us, you know, we're just on it spiritually, but just we are a totally developing country socially, right? Or maybe we're communists socially because we don't interact with people and we don't like talking to people. And no outside interaction at all, ever. We don't allow those things, right? And so that might be the case in our families. It might be the case in our work, in our education, in our community, in our churches, in whatever we're participating in. You know, that part of our life might be really underdeveloped. And the irony, here's the irony. We might be, you know, we might go on a trip to some country and be like, oh, this is despicable. They don't have a garbage system. They don't obey traffic rules. There's five cars packed into two lanes here. They just do whatever. This is crazy. They don't have good internet. They don't have good drinking water. Blah blah. And we could easily get all upset and all bent out of shape. And ironically, could be manifesting our own underdeveloped emotional system, our own underdeveloped mindset, our own underdeveloped social skills, our own underdeveloped planning system in our lives. And we are very much often like that underdeveloped country. So my invitation today and this insight for me was, wow, where do I need to have more planning, more structure, more thoughtfulness? And man, believe me, I've got tons of areas where I need to step it up and do better, to be more strategic, more thorough, more disciplined and more strict in raising my level of excellence, right? Because my friends, like, let this sink in. We get what we tolerate. We literally get what we tolerate. And so if we raise our standard of excellence in our own lives, and think about a nation that says, hey, you know, we just will not tolerate littering and just throwing your garbage everywhere. It's just unacceptable. And the whole nation has that culture and they just level up. Then you end up with a place like Switzerland, right? It's like, whoa! I mean, it's a postcard everywhere you look and everywhere you go. It's amazing. They have a cultural standard of excellence. They just will not tolerate, you know, that kind of stuff going on. And the same is true in our lives. We've got to raise that standard of excellence and raise our raise the level of what we will not tolerate in our lives as far as things like, I'm not talking about you can't control what other people do but you can control you. That's the one thing you can control, and yet many of us do not. And so we just say, you know, I'm not gonna allow myself to get upset over dumb things. Because only small people are bothered by small things. Right? That's the stuff toddlers do, but not adults. At some point we have to outgrow that, right? And the good news in all of this is it's just development. It really is just it's either underdeveloped or you know, developed, and that's the good news for all of us, is like we can take an area of our life where we're struggling and just say, oh, I'm just a little underdeveloped here. And so where do you need more planning? Is your house an example of unorganized matter and chaos? Is your mind unorganized and chaotic? Are your emotions underdeveloped and unstructured and undirected? We can control and direct our emotions. How are you doing socially? How are you doing spiritually? How are you doing financially? If you're doing business or education, what are you pursuing? Is it outlined? Is it clear? Do you know what you're doing, where you're going? Do you know where you're at and where you want to go? And so my invitation for all of us is to look carefully through each of the areas. And here's how to find out. Where are you struggling? Where are you struggling right now? Like, what's the biggest pain point in your life? I love when I'm doing coaching, this is what I do. Like, where's your biggest pain point? What hurts right now? And everybody that talks to you is like, oh, it's that. And almost without exception, when you look at that, when you look at your pain point, you'll find that there's usually some lack of infrastructure, so to speak. You go with me on the comparison here. Like, there's some lack of infrastructure. There's some lack of planning, of organization, of efficiency, of effectiveness. There's something missing. And it's something that's just simply been underdeveloped. And so you put forth some thought and some time and effort, and bam, you literally can take your life from a I don't know, like an India to a Switzerland. I love it. Oh, it's beautiful. And as we get clear on that, and this is literally what we do, like our whole School of Awesome Sauce coaching program, that's what this is for. That's literally what it's for. Like giving tools and resources to make these transformations, to develop areas in our lives that are underdeveloped. I was speaking with a new friend of mine that we met here, and I didn't know this because we just met him. But other people, of course, have seen the transformation. He told me he's lost 90 pounds in the last 5 months. 90 pounds! Whoa! It was so awesome. And he's like, I've tried for years to lose weight and all these other things. But he told me and remember my podcast, I talked about this, where we have relationships to everything, right? We literally have relationships with everything. And we all have relationships with food. And he did. And he said, I had an unhealthy relationship, so I had to change my relationship with food.
my mindset about food and about health. I had to change that. I changed my belief system. And then I had to set up systems. And here was this problem. So it's interesting, being overweight, right, and out of shape. He said it was a relationship problem that was underdeveloped. It was a mindset problem that was underdeveloped. And it was a structural system around food. He's like, if I had to think about it, I end up just eating things I shouldn't have eaten. And so he says he got coaching, right, which is critical. He got coaching. And then he got a system, and he's like, I just got this food set up. And he says, I don't have to think about what to eat, or I'm not like, oh, should I eat that chocolate or donut or whatever. He's like, I'm eating this vegetables and protein was the thing. He's like, I'm eating this salad with chicken on it. Boom. Right? And I'm not going to, like, we set up systems. And so he got his food habits in line, right? So it's efficient, it's effective, it's thought out. He's got a system in place, and he has no tolerance now for the junk, right? He doesn't allow it. And then he got more organized in his mindset and his thoughts, and more organized in his beliefs and his relationship with food and himself. And he's like, now he has more energy than he's had in years. You get what I'm saying? Like, this is beautiful. And so mentally, emotionally, and physically, they're boom, getting systems in place and structures, and he moved that section of his life from underdeveloped to developed. And we can all do that same thing. So wherever your pain point is, look at where you are underdeveloped and get strict, my friends. Throw out some discipline here and act like you are a city planner. And you're putting things in place that are going to make it efficient and effective. And if it looks like chaotic, unorganized mess, get in there and clean things up and watch how it totally transforms your life. Oh, I love this stuff. And if there's any way I can help, please shoot me a message. Jump into our coaching. I do one-on-one coaching. I do group coaching. We do our monthly coaching. I have courses and programs. Like, this is literally what I do. I help people move from where they are to where they want to be in each important area of their life holistically, so that, like, we get organized and structured. And life then is so efficient and so effective. Like, people are literally, this just kills me. People are suffering needlessly every day. They're struggling, really, really struggling, just stress and turmoil and hurt and frustration, all completely needlessly, only because they're unorganized and unplanned and inefficient, ineffective, and underdeveloped. That's it. That's the only thing in between being where you are and where you want to be, is getting that development in place. And that's like my life's work. I love it. I love doing this and helping people set that up. So if I can help in any way, please let me know. Shoot me a message. Ask your questions. Like, get engaged. Invest in yourself. Right? Take that step. Throw down the money. Put in the time and effort. Set aside the things that are distracting you and get to that level where you want to be. Because when you do that, oh, baby, life is amazing. And there's so much less turmoil and struggle and suffering. Like, parenting is so much easier, so much more enjoyable. Marriage is exciting and fun and romantic, and it's just pleasant and wonderful, instead of this just grind of like, oh, so hard and so much disagreement and fighting and struggle. And it doesn't have to be any of that, right? And getting along with other people can be so fun and rewarding. Okay, this one's crazy. You can even enjoy difficult people when you level up your skill set and your development. So, like, literally, when I say, every time I end, I say awesome is always an option. It is. In every circumstance, every condition, every part of your life, you can be developed or underdeveloped. And you can be awesome, because option is always an option, or you can be, like, struggle and suffer and miserable, right? We can make these massive transformations. So get in the game, my friends. Get in the game, because truly awesome is always an option. Reach upward. Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to this episode. I hope you got a lot of value out of it and found some things that you can apply to your life right away. Hey, I'm being totally sincere when I say I live to help you live your extraordinary life. So I hope you'll reach out to me if you have any questions, or let me know how I can help you in any important area of your life. And in fact, you know, this podcast is brought to you by the School of Awesome Sauce monthly coaching program. Take advantage of that. Get in there. If it's the best way to get a breakthrough to the next level, so you can level up your health, your spirituality, your emotions, your mind, your relationships, your finances, business, every part of your life. Just get in there where you have a coach and a mentor, you have a supportive community to make things happen. So jump in there, take advantage of this, try it out, get in there with us, and level up your life. See you on the inside. Reach upward.